what we've seen in times past, where there's becoming an open battle. It's a spiritual battle between light and darkness. Darkness confronting the light. Where values of the family are lost. There's little concept today of marriage, the biblical pattern of marriage. There's been a breakdown of family values. I was surprised. I had been widowed a few years ago and didn't expect to get married again, but I'm just thrilled. If you get an email from Nancy Taylor Tate, that's me, in the future. But I was surprised when I was in the community in different places and said that, oh, I'm engaged. They said, oh, are you moving in with each other? And no. They knew I was a minister, you know. But people just don't understand anymore. It's like they don't have that concept of family and commitment and covenant and what it means. I said, no, we're looking forward to a marriage and a honeymoon, you know, and a life together. But in a time like this, with the breakdown of the family comes the breakdown of society. And we're seeing that on every level. There's contending going on for our young people and for our youth. And for us too, if we're willing to buy into a lot that is happening today. But what can we as Christians do to make a difference in the time that we're living in? I believe that as we remember Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not really battling against any particular person or group of people or even any particular nation. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. So as we understand that the battle, it's not so much people or persons, or it's a spiritual battle, and that the battle has already been won. The battle is actually the Lord's, but what we're called to do is to wrestle or to stand or to have faith and be faithful as the Lord works in and through his people. You know, you can keep swatting mosquitoes, or you can go after the swamp from which the mosquitoes are coming. And as we understand, there's a spiritual battle. Years ago, when I was sent to the D.C. area by my dad, and I tell you, my dad was excited when he sent me. He'd had a word at least 10 years prior about relocating in the D.C. area. He wasn't ready to relocate yet, but he had sent me. And he did let me just sit and pray for a year. Can you imagine when you're all excited and you send somebody to do something and they're sitting there? He never questioned that. He was an amazing person. But I can remember while the realtor was driving us around, and they said we were in Maryland now. And I said, well, why do I still feel like I'm in D.C.? Because I could feel the spiritual atmosphere. I said, why do I feel like I'm still in D.C.? And it was just a few minutes later we saw a sign that said, welcome to Maryland. Well, I felt like I was still in D.C. because I was. But there's darkness that's in the heavenlies. And as we understand that it's a spiritual battle, and as we're walking in faith, as we're living in faith, as we're contending for our faith, as we're worshiping the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, but it's not just as I'm worshiping, as it's as I'm also living. Ordinary life, a carrier of God's presence, as I'm going about my business, there should be an impact in the areas where we live. There should be a weakening of the dark powers that yes. are ruling, because they can't move through us. So their territory is being weakened as we're believing and we're contending for the presence of the Lord. A call to intimacy of relationship. A call to walk with the Lord. A call to live godly lives, to walk in righteousness, in faith, and to have an impact on the very atmosphere of the places where God establishes us. Luke 18:5-8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I believe that's our calling today, to have faith and to be faithful. Sometimes we make it complicated, but the Lord is looking for a people who would know him, who are willing for him to know them, to work in their lives, that there can come in a change, not only in us, but in the places where he positions us. The Lord is establishing places marked by his presence, plural. That's what we're called to be. It doesn't matter for me, I'm called to be here. The Lord has you in multiple places. But there's to be places that are being established, places of his presence, where there can come a releasing of that presence and weakening the powers of darkness as the presence of the Lord is released. And I believe that there's coming a move of God such as we have not seen yet in this nation. I believe all past moves of God were but preparation for the move of God that is yet to come. I believe the Lord is going to touch our youth.
Yes.
That there's... going to come a change within our nation, that there's been an extension of grace and an extension of time that God might yet move before we transition into the times that are before us. There are 3 days in the economy of the Lord: the day of law, the day of grace, the day of kingdom. As we look back at that transitional time between law and grace, the church age, grace, the church age, that transitional time, though the Lord himself told the disciples what was about to happen, they didn't understand. They were scattered, they were confused. But there came a point following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that they did understand. Meanwhile, even though the church was a little, the early church, the beginnings of the New Testament church were scattered and confused, Scripture speaks of the sovereignty of God. Psalms 2, he who sits in the heavens laughs. Why are the people raging? Why are they imagining a vain thing? The church is a little scattered. The heathen are raging, and the Lord's just sitting on his throne. There's a plan to about unfold. Then the scripture says that to be wise, serve the Lord with fear or with respect. I like to say sometimes that God isn't quite so easy to get along with as we try to make him. There's a standard. We have his word. Blessed are all those that put their trust in him. And we are again living in a a transitional time. The heathen are again raging. It's unreal today. The things that are being said and the things that are happening. Yet there's an understanding of the sovereignty of God. At times I can just see him sitting up there kind of laughing or shaking his head at the darkness and the things that are trying to portray themselves. But as we see the sovereignty of God, there's also a trust. And there's a peace that we can have, knowing that he reigns. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. There's a spiritual battle. Hallelujah. But we've read the end of the book.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And today, we have that privilege of being able to stand as witnesses, to stand as lights, to contend for our faith, to contend for our beliefs. Back then, in the transition from law into grace, if things were like they are today, there would be in that time where the church was being greatly persecuted, following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, much persecution going on in the church. It was a hard time socially and economically for the church. If things were back then as they are today, there would probably have been emails going out telling Christians what to pray. And predicting who the next Roman ruler was going to be and what the next disaster was going to be. What was going to happen next? Focus on events. But yet, as you look at the scriptures, what the disciples, what the apostles were talking about in that time period of persecution, of a hard time for the church, was Jesus.
Yes.
They were focused on Jesus. They were focused on his resurrections. When you look at the epistles, they were focused on principles of our faith that the church, or that those who had been born again, the Jew and the Gentile, being made one new man, that they might grow together to maturity and come into the fullness of God's purpose in their lives. Even the book of Hebrews, which was written to encourage those going through persecution, that they would not turn back, the focus was Jesus, the express image of God, knowing God, understanding God, the new covenant, the intercessory work of Christ for us. It was all about Jesus. Hebrews 12:3, consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Jesus, his eternal purposes. Other teachings that we have in the New Testament. They weren't focused on the political system of the day. They weren't focused on the social problems of the day. They were speaking above that to grow a people up into Christ Jesus, that they might come into that position or that place, their heavenly calling. And I believe that as we are again going through a transitional time where the heathen are raging and there's so much going on politically and socially that you don't even hardly want to talk about it because you don't want to stir up controversy, that we are again to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done for us, his purposes as we stand in faith. What is God's purpose for us? John 3:7 tells us that we must be born again. Not an option. option. There's one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, by which all men must be saved. You must be born again. But then Matthew 16:24 tells us that if any man, if conditional, we don't have to, but if any man would follow after Christ, he must take up his cross. There's cost involved. There's a price to pay. As I deny myself and as I choose his ways. Paul's testimony, his desire, Philippians 3:10, was simply that I might know him. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Could spend a whole meeting just on that verse. But that I might know him, his power, that I might be made conformable to who he is. We know from the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 that there's gradations of growth depending on the soil. The potential is in the seed, but depending on the soil, there's different gradations of growth that the seed comes to in that soil. Luke 8:15 tells us that the good ground, those who come to their full potential, are those who with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Oh, we not only hear it, we do it. And bring forth fruit, how? With patience. Oh, that word patience. But bring forth fruit with patience. What is that fruit? We're familiar with Galatians 5:22, which speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. Godly character, love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness. Romans 8:29 tells us that we've been predestined to be conformed into his image and likeness. When you get into predestination, it speaks of the eternal purposes of God as it relates to those who are redeemed. Ever you do a study on that. But that has been God's foreordained purpose, that as believers, we would be conformed or changed into his image and into his likeness. 2 Peter 1:4 speaks of being partakers of the divine nature. Revelations 3:8 says to the Latter-day Church, I counsel you to buy. There's that cost again, if any man would follow after me. But I counsel you to buy gold tried in the fire, white raiment, the garment of the overcomer, that you be clothed. Acts 1:8 tells us that we are to be. That's an active verb, that we are to be or we are to become witnesses. And it's easy to get caught up in all kinds of other things. But I believe that it's important, even in such a time as this, as the time frame that we're living in, to see the value of the inner working of the Lord within our lives. That and the lives of others. That there might be a people brought forth in true spirituality. Not just a lot of religious activity. But where it's no longer I. Now it's Christ living in me. I might squawk a little. I might scream a little. I might cry a little. But that Adamic nature is being put to death. And every day, I'm a little more godly. Every day, I know Jesus a little bit more. Every day, I'm a little bit closer to him. because I've submitted my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I welcome His working within. As we look at the prayers of Paul, and I'm just going to touch on these today, but I just want us to remember that when Paul was praying these things, it was during the time of persecution. I mean, there was a lot going on in the early church at the time when he was praying and speaking these things. I also want us to notice as we look at these prayers that his prayers are not evangelistic. His prayers relate to those who are already saved as he's praying into the purposes of God in their lives. Also, that there was continuance in prayer. He didn't just pray, but he continued to pray. And we've lost a little bit of the understanding of what it means to continue in prayer, to pray through. It's all through Scripture, the value of continued prayer. Jesus himself prayed three times using the same words. That's not vain repetition. That's the continued heartfelt prayer of a righteous man that avails much.
Yes.
And those prayers that come from our heart, I'm not talking about just reciting things. I'm talking about heartfelt prayer being lifted from a life that has been consecrated to the Lord. They avail much. They're powerful. Paul said in Galatians 4:19, I travail again, so Christ be formed in you. Has to do with the inner working of God within our lives. The very heart of a spiritual walk, of a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For our lives, our walk with the Lord begins with salvation. But yet that growing or being changed, it takes a lifetime. Hattie Hammond used to say, God isn't finished with you yet, otherwise you wouldn't still be here. God would have taken you home. She was about 86 years old. She had been ordained 60 years as a minister in the assemblies. And what a precious lady of faith. With an understanding of what it means to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to live a life of character and faith. But our walk with the Lord begins with salvation, but then there's that lifelong process of being changed. And I believe this is what Paul was praying into at that time of transition when the early church was being formed. He wasn't focused so much on the persecution or the social problems or the political problems. He was focused on what God was doing inside of people. I have six prayers listed here, and I think I'm just going to read through them quickly. But Ephesians 1, starting with verse 16. Where Paul is saying, I cease not to give thanks for you. And I just want to speak these prayers over you as I'm reading them. But I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. But he's praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation for us, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling. In a time of difficulty for the early church, he's praying that people will know the hope of their calling and have a revelation in who Christ Jesus is. And Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in his inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And then Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then also in Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, and also 2 Thessalonians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 3, and 11 through 12. But here Paul is giving thanks, because he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Why? Because he's remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, your election of God. And then in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, as it is meet, because of your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful to be praying for people because they're doing well. to remember all the good things that they've been doing and to support them and encourage them with prayer. Think about that. How often do we tend to pray for problems instead of praying into what God is doing in a life and rejoicing in what God is doing in a life and strengthening that in one another? I simply want to say this morning, and we are to pray for our leaders, we're to pray for our nations, you know, truth balances truth. But let us not get distracted by all the temporal things that are going on today. But let's maintain an eternal perspective. Let's maintain a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, that each day we might know him a little bit more. May we stay focused on his eternal purpose and his working within our lives. I listen sometimes. It seems so much faith is generated for over there, for over here, or somewhere else, temporal needs that we're concerned about and praying into and do want to be a blessing to others. But yet, what about faith for what God is doing inside of here? For his working within our lives, for his working in our brother or sister's life. May we maintain an eternal perspective as we focus on Jesus, that we might not only know him, but that we might embrace his working in us as all these things are going on round about us. That we would not just be saved. You know, my goal is not just to make it to heaven, but I want to grow up into him. I want to come to spiritual maturity. I want to come to that place where as the head and the body are joined together. We saw a picture of that beautifully this morning as different words were coming forth. But where there's a preparation in my life to be with him for all of eternity. May we live godly lives. May we stand in our faith. Much of the truth that I portray is not preaching at someone. It's just them looking at my life and commenting on it. Paul said, "Be a follower of me." Can we say that? Do we live our lives in such a way that we can say, "Be a follower of me"? Are people seeing Jesus when they look at our lives? Are we standing in truth in a day of much turbulence as we are rooted and grounded in love, as our love abounds more and more? May there be an impact. May there be a displacement. May something happen in the spiritual atmosphere of wherever we are, simply because we love Jesus, because we've submitted to his working. He's inhabiting our lives. We're carriers of his presence. As we encourage others to submit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ as well, that he might work in them too. Like Jesus, may our testimony be John 14:30-31, "But the prince of this world comes, but has nothing in me, but that the world may know," that's our testimony, "that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I." The prayers of Paul, we touched on them just briefly this morning. But prayers for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That Christ would dwell in our hearts. That we would be strengthened by his Spirit. That we would be rooted in love. That our love would abound. That we would grow in the knowledge of him. That we would know his will, that we would know his power, and walk worthy of the Lord. Paul's prayers, he was simply praying that we would be equipped to stand, come what may, the good times, the hard times, come what may. There is a people that the Lord is equipping today to stand. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. But our testimony is that others in the midst of it can see Christ, His nature, His character, His love, truth in us and through us, not because we're preaching at people, but because we're living a godly life. Hattie Hammond made me so hungry for more of Jesus, just because she was so in love with Jesus. And I said, you know, I want to live my life in such a way that someday I could say Jesus the way she says Jesus. I want to love Him the way she loves Him. I want to make choices that bring me to that point where she is in her walk and in her relationship with God. I had limited time with her, but I was blessed to give her a ride home once. And it was like there was a little open heaven over her head. I felt like if I could just get close enough, that I could be under that open heaven too. And I remember just going into Wendy's with her once, and I'm looking for a table by ourselves because I see this glow around her and I want to be with her. She picks a table right by this noisy little kid that's getting food all over the place. And she's just sitting there smiling and enjoying every moment of it. Just a simple person, a simple life, but what testimonies that stemmed from a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A love for Jesus that's more visible than spoken of. That there might come a releasing of His presence. That His authority might operate in a people who know Him and have submitted their lives to His inner working within. There's a little chorus I used to play in Auto Harp quite a bit. I'm starting to pick it up again. Alan's been encouraging me. He plays the guitar, so he's got me on my harp. But there's a little chorus that I sing, that I might know Him, that I might know Him, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, that I might know Him, that I might know Him, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Simple desire, simple song, but you know the Lord seems to like it. And He makes Himself known, and He will, to all of those who set their love on Him and desire after Him.